let's get started.
Thank you.
In front of you, I'm sorry, a couple things.
Am I echoing now?
You're good.
Okay. A couple things. Amy had mentioned to me, oh, now I'm not working. Am I?
Can you hear in the back?
Can you guys hear me?
I think so.
Yes, no. Okay. All right. For those of you who, unfortunately, your backs are towards us, just flip your chair all the way around so that you're comfortable. And also, your handout that you have in front of you, we're going to go through some questions together. And so we listed the scriptures, some of the scriptures we're going to be using. But I also want to, you know, you have a pen, take some notes, anything you want to jot down. So feel free to just jot down whatever may come to important to you. Okay, so let's go.
All right, well, let's get started. Let's just go right to the first question. What are the spiritual disciplines and why are they essential for our spiritual growth?
Well, you know, I would say I wonder how many women have a clear understanding of actually what the spiritual disciplines are. You know, as a Christian, you know, you hear, oops. We'll just leave that there. You know, you hear about them as a Christian. You hear that they're important, that they should be part of your regular life, you know, your habits in your life. And, you know, but do we really understand what they actually are? You know, the words spiritual disciplines, that's not in the Bible. You know, spiritual disciplines, the words are not in the scriptures. Just like the word Trinity is not in the scriptures. But they're taught, you know, the truths of the Trinity are taught in the scriptures, and so are the truths of the spiritual disciplines are taught in the scriptures. And Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Discipline of Grace, and this is a book that we're going to be talking about a little bit tonight, and we're going to be giving this book away this year. And so in his book, he says that discipline refers to certain activities designed to train someone for a certain skill. Listen to the passage in 1 Timothy. It says, rather train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. For this end, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. This passage is telling us that we need to train or discipline ourselves to become godly. Notice that it says that we have to toil and strive, right? It's telling us that. And, you know, that means that we have to work at it. We have to work to be godly. We have to work at these things because why? Our hope is in God. And, you know, Amy, I know that you are a runner. And I know that you, you know, you're a long-distance runner. You've done a couple marathons, and I know that as a runner, you have to discipline yourself and train yourself to prepare. So, you know, can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like as, you know, you prepare?
Yeah. Yeah, I will say most of my longer distances were before I had the boys, so I'm to much shorter distances now, and that's okay, right? But, yeah, this idea of training for a marathon, it takes a lot of time, a lot of determination. There's just nothing simple about it. And if I'm being honest, I probably would have quit if I wouldn't have been running with someone. I've had some friends that I've been blessed to run with. But, you know, the idea is if you don't take time to properly prepare and really train yourself, you won't be ready for that day. And it's tough. But when I used to run those really long distances, I would always be meditating and thinking about the parallels between being spiritually disciplined and physical discipline. And it was always, you know, something that I would be meditating on and thinking on, and the Lord grew me in that way. And, you know, like I said, slowly over time, you're putting in the hard work, you're working to have that endurance, you're building your body up to withstand that mileage to ultimately be able to finish well.
Yeah, that's true. And so just like you prepare for a race, we need to prepare and we need to train ourselves and discipline ourselves. You know, it's work, right? It's work. In order to accomplish that goal, we need to work at it.
So
spiritual disciplines, they're not character qualities that we possess, okay? They're not things that we possess, but yet they're things that we do, okay? Habits that we form, activities that become part of our daily lives and, you know, cause us to become more like Christ. these spiritual activities that we do, or these disciplines that we practice, they're found in Scripture, and they promote spiritual growth among believers. Now, Donald Whitney, which is another book that we're going to be giving away this year, we're going to be talking a little bit about, it's his book is called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And in his book, he really, he talks about a lot of spiritual disciplines. I mean, we're going to touch on a few this year, but there's many more than what the ones we're going to be looking at this year. But he takes a deeper look at them. And some of the ones that we're going to be studying this year is going to be Bible intake. We're going to Bible reading, but we're going to take 2 months on that. We're going to call it Bible intake. We're going to be looking at prayer and fasting. You know, prayer and fasting, you know, fasting's coupled with prayer in the Scriptures. And why is that? Well, we're going to look a little bit deeper at that and understand it a little bit better. Meditation, scripture memory, journaling, worship. Okay, I wanted to bring in the hymn because they're so rich, like Renee said, they're so rich with great theology. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're sometimes lost in today's society. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for us to remember them and worship the Lord through them. And then I thought it would be helpful to know who wrote it and why did he write it and the history behind it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be focusing on worship a little bit this year. And, you know, what we're going to be focusing on, like I said, it's not exhaustive, but that just helps to give you an idea of what the spiritual disciplines are. Now, there are personal disciplines and there are interpersonal disciplines. Okay, so personal disciplines would be those disciplines that you do in your own personal life, okay? You know, you read your Bible, things like that, okay? Then there's interpersonal, which is done, say, within the church. Right now, we're together, we're gathered together. That's interpersonal. You know, worship on a Sunday morning or in a small group. Those are interpersonal disciplines. Vilma, can you give us some practical examples to help us kind of flesh that out a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So, like, personal disciplines can be like personal time with the Lord, you're at home, you're praying, you're reading your Bible, you're singing, worshiping. Even sometimes when my kids come home, they'll pull out the guitar and start worshiping in the family room. So that can be like personal discipline. Interpersonal would be group activities as this, a small group study that you do during the week. It also is worshiping through singing in church with the body of believers, praying along with your pastor through corporate prayer, and it's so. And ultimately, we're ultimately designed for community and for private worship before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes the personal and interpersonal disciplines can get a little bit out of balance. I mean, think about the last 18 months, what we've gone through. Right, we've just gone through COVID. We had lockdowns. How did we worship? Mm-hmm. Well, we tried to worship, you know, corporately, but we couldn't, and so we were worshiping online, right? We were attending worship mm-hmm. services online. We got more disconnected from the body and being able to practice those interpersonal disciplines. And, you know, we can slip into a mindset almost where, you know, we think that that's enough. You know, like, I'll just watch the service online, and that's enough. You know, I'm growing. I'm worshiping the Lord, or, you know, I want to do these things. I don't need to be with a group of people to accomplish these things. Well, I think that we can get out of balance there. And, you know, actually Scripture tells us that we, you know, we should be gathering together, and especially for worship. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I mean, that's very
absolutely
clear.
Yeah. Amen. We can't just show up once a week or once a month, see your friends, hear a sermon, go to a study, and think mm-hmm. we've arrived spiritually. We cannot operate our spiritual lives as an island. We're designed for community, and this is how we thrive and grow. So we're talking about community and the local church. So let's touch base on some common excuses we might hear, people might say, or you're thinking even. Well, when I'm gardening or hiking or meditating alone out in nature, whatever it is, I feel closer to God and than I do with Christians or even going to church. So can you worship the Lord through nature? Can we be meditating, praying, nurturing our relationship through God through those hobbies? Of course, absolutely. This is his world, it's beautiful. His mm-hmm. power, his love, his majesty is displayed through creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. However, these activities are not a substitute for Bible intake or Christian fellowship or any of the disciplines we mentioned or the ones we're going to be learning this year.
Mm. Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. And it's just such a beautiful thing, and it's such a blessing to mm-hmm. be part of a community of believers like we have here at Cornerstone. We're all growing alongside one another, and mm-hmm. I know we're so encouraged by that. Mm-hmm. It honestly really ties into what Pastor Paul's been preaching on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. You know, the family of God, that we need each other. We're called to be with one another.
Yes.
So, yeah, just to build on what we're saying here, the spiritual disciplines, they're the actions that we take, right, in our daily lives in order to pursue godliness and holiness. Mm-hmm. And the reality for a Christian is that we should make these practices an intentional priority. And as we're saying, we should live these disciplines out not only alone when we're comfortable and by ourselves, but with other believers, which can sometimes be uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
In his book, which you mentioned, The Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, Donald Whitney gives the example of a treadmill. I think all of us ladies can admit to one time or another where we have that set of free weights or a treadmill or whatever it is that we want to use and where our attention is there.
And we don't use them.
And we just, yeah, it's hard to follow through. We've all been there. So he's staying there with that example that, you know, think of that physical discipline. Think of your spiritual muscles the same way. If you don't exercise your spiritual muscles, if you don't read your Bible, if you're not fellowshipping, how are you ever going to see growth?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the answer is that we really won't see much growth in godliness if we're not fellowshipping, if we're not reading our Bibles. And sadly, we'll remain shallow Christians if we don't actively pursue Jesus together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are great answers. Thank you. So I think we answered the first part of that question. But the second part of that question is, why are the spiritual disciplines essential? Why are they essential mm-hmm. for spiritual growth? Well, because God tells us that we need to grow up. We need to grow up and we need to change. He doesn't want us to stay immature believers. You know, we need to grow up in every way into Christ, to become like Christ, to become Christ-like, right? And in order to become Christ-like, we need to think like Christ, which is godly thinking, godly thoughts. We need to talk like Christ, which is godly speech. We need to act like Christ, which is a godly lifestyle. And Christ-likeness, that's what we want to pursue. That should be the standard that we strive for as we study the scriptures. And you know, the spiritual disciplines, they promote growth in a believer. And as we need one another, you know, we need one another, like mm-hmm. it was said, mm-hmm. to help and encourage one another yes. as we pursue these things in our lives.
Right, right. So like you're saying, in order to become Christ-like, we need to recognize that these disciplines, these habits that we're forming, they're a means of growth for us, and they're truly essential towards mm-hmm. growth and godliness. Mm-hmm. What we're putting in is what's going to flow out, right?
Yes.
I love how Ephesians 5 and Galatians 5, these verses call us to action. Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And then Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When I think of the spiritual disciplines in a believer's life, I think of a life that's transformed, a lifestyle that's different, it's set apart. I remember reading those two verses in high school after I became a Christian, and they really struck me. They called me, you know, to action. Like I said, I sensed that conviction that, like, I need to obey in what I'm doing, what I'm watching, what I'm saying. And they honestly struck me on a day-to-day basis, and they counseled me to imitate God. Mm-hmm. And it was profound for me.
You know, in those verses, you notice that it said walk. It used to use the word walk. You know, walking in love, walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what walking implies. You know, it's that progress. It's that moving
right.
forward.
Right.
You know, we're walking in the Spirit in a continuous action or a habitual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walking in the Spirit is yielding to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives.
Right, right.
So, you know, we have to think about what does walking really mean? We're moving forward.
Yeah.
So that's great. Okay, so let's move on to question number two. So I want to debunk the myth about the spiritual disciplines. Okay, so why do so many people cringe or feel defeated when they think about actually practicing the spiritual disciplines in their daily lives?
So let's take an example of a good day, bad day scenario. A good day can be you get up in the morning, you're on time, you're getting ready for whatever your day looks like, you have your quiet time, you're good to go, you're focused, you're with the Lord, you go off to work or your kids or whatever, and you're having a wonderful day. And you might even witness to somebody. A bad day would be you hit the alarm clock three times, you can't roll out of bed, you're late getting ready, and your whole day is ruined, and you just are having a really bad day. So part of the problem is that we think it all depends on us. We feel that we are less of a Christian if we're struggling with scripture memorization or prayer or fill in the blank for you. But the truth is, it's not based on what we do. God's love and approval of us is not based on our performance. His love never changes. Nothing we could ever do can cause God to love us more or less. And here's where legalism can also set in. We look at it like it's something we have to do. It is His love and grace that we so desperately need, not our actions. He's not pleased by performance. He is honored and glorified by true, humble obedience. He's simply not going to love us more or less based on what we do. We will never be good enough. We are righteous before God because of Christ's righteousness. So in the book, Jerry Bridges, that we've been talking about, he quotes, "Your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace."
Amen. You know, we live in a society that is performance driven, don't we? Mm-hmm. And it even overflows into our Christian life. And when in reality and truth, our relationship with God is based upon His grace, not our performance. And, you know, the sad thing is we elevate ourselves and think that it's all about us and right. what we need to
exactly.
do.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Right. And I think that being performance driven for the wrong reasons is so embedded in us as just sinners. We're just sinners. We're human. We focus on the outward appearance. And like you said, it's so embedded in our culture. It's all around us. You know, we feel such a deep sense of guilt when we don't measure up to that standard that we put on ourselves or that expectation that we think is right. We all fall into the comparison trap from time to time. But really, we're focused on ourselves. We're so curved inward that we forget to meditate on the gift of God's undeserved grace. Mm-hmm. We don't take our minds captive like we're called to do in 2 Corinthians 10:5 with the truth. Mm-hmm. And what is the truth that we should be taking our minds captive with? The truth, as you just explained, is that God's love is not conditional. Once we're born again and made new, He views us as perfectly righteous through the blood of the sinless Jesus Christ. Our relationship with God is not based on our performance, but on His grace. And what's His grace? It's a big topic. Mm-hmm. It's His undeserved, unmerited favor toward us.
Yes.
We can't earn His grace. We'll come up short every time because... Oh, I just lost, sorry. Because we're not enough, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
But God's enough. He's enough. And to me, that takes the pressure off,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, you know, He's enough and that I'll never measure up because we hear, you know, you'll find the answers within yourself or your truth is your truth,
mm-hmm.
but we won't be good enough, but God's enough. And in order to combat this performance mindset, you know, and those feelings of defeat that we get if we're not measuring up, we have to make sure our minds are saturated with God's truth,
mm-hmm.
which is the Bible, and not whatever truth or whatever relativism, you know, the culture is spewing on any given day, because we all know that it's just constantly changing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so, you know, we're sitting here, and I'm thinking that some of you may be hearing like, well, they're kind of contradicting themselves. You know, on one hand, we're saying you need to discipline and train yourself in order to be godly, right? Mm-hmm. Then on the other hand, we're saying there's nothing you can do to earn God's love or bring him, right? But let's clarify this so that everyone understands what we're trying to convey. To sum it up, we do not work for the love that Christ has for us. It's not based on what we do. Our salvation is a free gift that we accept through faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And only when we become a Christian and his child, once we become a child of God, our desire should be to obey him and do what pleases him. Because of our love for him, we should want to live out and practice these disciplines. He won't love us any more or any less based on what we do. We practice the disciplines because of our relationship with God, not so we'll be able to have a relationship with him. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should," there it is, "walk in them." Now, also, I want to say this, if you've tried to practice these disciplines and you failed to stay consistent in, say, your Bible reading or prayer or whatever disciplines you're trying to live out in your life, well, you're not alone, because we all struggle, we all fall short, and, you know, we need to remember that you are not alone, and that his mercies are new every morning. Mm-hmm. And I lost my card. Can I borrow your little card right there? I had it, and I don't know what it is. Yes. You all have one of these, right? You all have a card in front of you. So it says, it has Lamentations 2, verses, or sorry, 3, verses 22 to 23 on it. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We just sang that, didn't we? Great is your faithfulness. Now, be encouraged by this verse. God never, ever fails us. Let that be a reminder of his love and his mercy. It never ends, and every morning is new. Just like that beautiful hymn we sang earlier, "Great is his faithfulness." Now, I want to challenge you to take this card. I want you to take it home, and I don't want you to stick it in your papers and go put some, do it. I want you to take this. I want you, kids, guys over here. I want you to put it somewhere in your home. Most of us are at the kitchen sink a lot of the times. Put it on your kitchen window. Put it in your bathroom. Put it on your table. Put it somewhere where you can see it. And I want you to read it every day. And I want you to meditate on what these words really, truly mean. And you know what? You might even memorize it by the end of the month. So I want you to take it. You can have it back. Thank you very much. Because I want you to have it. And you know, I want you to do that for this entire month till you come back next time. And you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be practicing spiritual disciplines, mm-hmm, in doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's the joy of it. And we want to help you. We want to equip you. And we want you to be able to feel as though you are walking and progressing in that.
That's right.
Thanks, yeah. Mary. Okay, so let's move to question 3. How can a Christian woman begin to grow and desire God more and flourish in her life?
Well, I think we need to remember the gospel, right? The gospel is the good news. Mm-hmm. God sent Jesus Christ to earth. He died for our sins. He rose again. And we are united with him as heirs of the kingdom. Salvation is a free gift. Listen to Isaiah 61. It says, "I greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness." Remember, we do good works because we love him and because of his love for us. We call to mind what Christ has done, and our love, our love and obedience will change. Our lifestyle and the affections of our heart will naturally change over time. they will begin to grow. We will start to flourish spiritually, mm-hmm. and it will be well worth all that toil and striving that we work towards. There is no true contentment or life-stabilizing truth or soul-satisfying knowledge like the glorious truth of the gospel. Ladies, he is our remedy to life's deepest challenges. And, you know, we go through life and we struggle and we go through trials. And, you know, God is faithful and he is the only answer for us. And as a result of accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not alone in your days. You know, you are not alone in your day-to-day walk. You have the Holy Spirit now as your helper. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we become a believer. And, you know, some people say after they're a Christian, well, you know, God's going to change me now. I'm going to change, you know, God's going to change me, you know, that now that I've given my life to him. Well, you know what? As a Christian, we now go through something called sanctification. And, you know, it's a process of changing and growing to become more like Christ. And sanctification is the process of becoming more like him as we continually walk with him. Mm-hmm. Walking in the Spirit. We were given the Holy Spirit at salvation, and we are given new desires to know God deeply and to hate our sin. The presence of the Holy Spirit should be spurring conviction within us. The work of sanctification is the Holy Spirit equipping us and enabling us to do the hard work of change in our lives.
So, as a result of all this, we should diligently pursue holiness and Christlikeness, even when the going gets tough. Trials will come, like Mary said, and life is not always easy, but in pursuing the disciplines, you find yourself grounded in God and in his word. So if you're memorizing scripture and you know God's word, it's in your head for when something comes up. You might be somewhere without your Bible, and when you know it in your head, it's going to help you get through that, whether it's a little trial or a big trial. Mm-hmm. And if you remember his truths and his promises because you've been in his word, then it just gives you the peace to get through whatever that trial may be.
Mm-hmm. Here's another great quote by Jerry Bridges, the book we're referencing, and it's on your handout, I believe. Discipline without desire is drudgery. What is it then that sparks the desire in our hearts to lead a disciplined, godly life? It is the joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven, that no matter how much we've stumbled and fallen today, God does not count our sins against us. And that's just so encouraging because mm-hmm. we all struggle. We all fight with our sin. And this quote makes my mind go right back to the truth of the gospel that you just explained. And what a comforting truth it is mm-hmm. that once we are redeemed, God does not count our sins against us anymore.
So let me read a couple verses that reflect on desiring God and can teach us how to yearn for a close relationship with God. But his desire is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Psalm 1, 2, and 3. Secondly, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 48. These verses are so rich, and scripture is chock full of verses to encourage our growth in Christ.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens on the days when we're just plain struggling and we aren't desiring God? Mm-hmm. Maybe we'd rather give in to the self-pity that we're feeling or the anger that we feel. What do? We train ourselves to call to mind verses like those and verses like this, 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You know, as we begin to grow, when we obey and seek after direct commands like this, you know, because it gives us a purpose and a focus. Mm-hmm. That's when we begin to grow. We, you know, we're being charged here in this verse to pursue holiness, mm-hmm. which it incites a lifestyle response. Mm-hmm. And changing habits, it's hard. I think we can all agree with that. Mm-hmm. But when we put off those old habits and we put on the new habits, like the spiritual disciplines, then we truly flourish in our lives and in our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. So obedience to Christ out of thankfulness turns to a true desire to know God deeper if we cultivate, you know, this over time.
Mm-hmm. And to build on this, we flourish abundantly and have true joy when we obey God because we love Him. We're grateful for the gospel. Our devotion to Him will grow. Obedience, love, and commitment are connected to one another. We need to start with dependent discipline. So this means that we depend on God through the Holy Spirit to enable us and help us. But we must do the work. Discipline is hard work. And every day in some areas of our life, we're disciplining ourselves in one direction or another by the choices we make. So you have to do the hard thing, and then the desire will come.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember it's been many years now when I felt the conviction that I needed to read my Bible more. And I'm not saying that I had that desire, but I knew that out of obedience that this is what God wanted me to do. And so, you know, I started getting up in the morning and I started reading my Bible, and I had to make it a habit. It's not that I wanted to do it in the beginning, but I did it because I knew that I should, and I knew that God wanted me to. And that was many years ago. And I will tell you that that obedience turned into a sweet desire, a sweet devotion now that I have towards the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I love getting up in the morning and getting in the Word. Mm-hmm. I love it. If I have a bad day, like you said, I am thrown off mm-hmm. because of the fact that I miss that time mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's very precious to me. But it didn't start that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also think about memorizing scripture. You know, I felt the same thing. I'm like, like you said, you know, when we have it in our mind, we can bring it to mm-hmm. our thoughts. And, mm-hmm. and I felt conviction about that. I'm like, I want to know God's word better. And I wanted to start memorizing it. And I did it out of conviction of knowing that I needed to know God's word better. And, you know, I started to do that. And then I was like, well, I want to understand the context of these verses. So then I pushed myself to start, you know, looking at full chapters and trying to memorize those. Now, I don't have a lot of, don't look at me like I'm, I work at it. You know, I'm not perfect at it. But my point is that when we know that we need to do something for the Lord and we feel that conviction, we need to follow through on that. That's the Holy Spirit's prompting. And also, you know, we can't expect perfection. You know, we need to be striving for the goal, striving for Christ-likeness. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember too when I was a young Christian, and you know, I would be in a group of people that would pray. I don't know if it maybe at a Bible study or something, and I was like, oh, my heart would be racing because, and you know, I was like, oh, I don't want to pray. What am I going to pray? And then I wouldn't pray, or I'd say, you know, after probably a few years, I don't even remember. I'd be like, I have to pray. Like, what am I going to say? Okay, I'll just make it short, and then I'll pray. But it was like, I knew that I shouldn't just not pray, but yet I was so nervous about it, and I just forced myself to do it. But then the more that I did that, now I have to say, and it's many years later, that I love praying with people. I love it. It's sweet. And it's a time of worship and mm-hmm. praise. But that isn't something that just happened. Like, I want you to understand that. Like, right, this is right. hard work.
Yes.
And we want you to understand that we are far from having this down. I just want to share those are areas in my life that God really worked on in mm-hmm. my spirit. Mm-hmm. So I want to go to that next question. You know, what do they look like in your life? So Amy and Vilma, what do the spiritual disciplines look like in your life? Now, before you start, I'm sorry. I want you to understand, and they're in very different places in their life. You know, Vilma, her kids are out of the house. she's got grown children. She works full time. She has her mom living with her, and she has some physical issues going on. So she's got a very full, busy, and sometimes very trying life. And then Amy has three little boys. They're really cute little ones. Not fives, but three little boys who keep her very, very busy. Mm. And you know, if you've had your kids, they keep you running. And so her life is very busy. So they're in very different seasons of life. So what does it look like for you guys? Vilma, what does it look like for you?
So I have to get up really early for work, and I'm not a morning person, so I have to get up even earlier so I can wake
Tell
up.
The time, Vilma.
I get up at 4:20. So I'd sit there with a cup of coffee and try to wake up. You know, it's crazy, but this is just how I am. And I get ready, and then I go and have my quiet time. My little nursery we used to have turned into my quiet room. And so, you know, and sometimes it's Bible reading, sometimes I'm in a Bible study, sometimes it's prayer, sometimes it's memorizing scripture or whatever. And it's not long enough for me. I wish it was longer, but that's where I can place it in my life right now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I go off to work. So I prefer, it works for me in the morning. At the end of the day, I'm exhausted. My mom's, you know, needs me. So it's just, that's just how it works for me right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't always that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Amy?
Yeah, for me over the years, it's definitely changed. I actually developed a good habit in high school after becoming a Christian. I really wanted to read my Bible, so I was pretty consistent at that. But as I grew up and I got a job, I was working 5 days a week, and Netflix started, the streaming service. And honestly, I really stopped my discipline. I didn't completely stop reading my Bible, but I remember thinking after my really crazy shifts, man, I just better read my Bible quickly so I can sit down and finally relax. Mm. And my priorities were flip-flopped, because I would just rush and then I would just sit and relax. Even on the weekends, I was like, oh, I can't wait to watch TV. Like, just ridiculous. But as the Lord started maturing me and the Holy Spirit really convicted me, I was like, have I been in my Bible even 60 minutes this week? And how many hours of Netflix did I watch? And it started being just this really, mm-hmm. this point of embarrassment almost for me personally. Mm-hmm. I had to confess it and work to relax in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I had to fight for that because I was so used to just turning my brain off after my crazy shifts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started thinking, like, I could either be with the King of Kings reading my Bible, or I could be watching a show. Like, yeah. What am I going to say to Jesus at the end of my life? Mm-hmm. That I watch shows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I had to radically shift my schedule and my evenings. But, I mean, I would never go back. And I look back to those shows and I'm like, what was that even teaching me? What was I putting in my mind?
Mm-hmm.
So now, at this point in my life, and praise be to the Lord, in the evening after the boys are in bed and my house is quiet and I have less distractions, I'd rather read my Bible and fellowship with Jesus than watch a show. Mm-hmm. And I do fight it. I still fight it. Sometimes there's like, oh, I'd rather read a news article. Or I'd rather go watch a whatever movie. Mm-hmm. But I fight it because I've been convicted of it, and I can't. I, like you were saying, I'm responding to the Holy Spirit, and I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't not, you know, read my Bible. So yeah, I like to read at night. I like to read at night. My house is quiet. Sometimes I read during nap time, depending on how the week is going. But I usually get my reading in and my praying after the kids are asleep.
Mm-hmm. So it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. It's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Vilma, you've shared with me about how you have your prayer mm-hmm. list. And mm-hmm. can you just share a little bit about that?
I have a prayer list. And as I pray through it, when God answers the prayer like we want him to answer it, I will write it on an index card, and then I post it on a big cork board. So, for instance, the latest one, a friend of mine, baby Henry, came home from the hospital, and I put the date on it, and it's an answered prayer, and I don't put, like, every, like, God help me find my keys, you know, but like bigger prayers that you really, really pray over, or that are, you know, really tough ones. Yeah. So they go on a cork board so that I can go and look at, you know, you forget sometimes the prayers that he answers the way you want them to. And so it helps me to go back and went, oh yeah, that happened and that happened. And so it's really helpful to remind us of what God does do for us. So
I love that idea. Oh, great. I love that. And Amy, I know that you're a journaler, aren't you? You like to journal?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I journaled a lot before I had the boys. I got away from it a little bit. But now in my evenings as I'm reading, I just pull out a super simple notebook and not long journal thoughts, but whatever I'm reading in the Bible, you know, there's usually a few verses that'll stick out to you. So sometimes I'll just write down those verses and meditate on them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll write out my prayer because your mind does wander. And sometimes it'll just be praying and writing at the same time. It just keeps you focused, at least for me. Yeah. You know, or I'll just jot down what God's teaching me, something I want to work on, something that he's convicting me of. So my journaling's simple, but it just helps me stay focused because... Mm-hmm. You know, your mind will go to different places, a million different places by the end of the day.
Didn't you say your mom got you?
Yeah, she did. That? Yeah, my mom developed that really good habit with me from, I think, the time I could write, like kindergarten. Wow. She just got me, again, a super simple notebook. Mm-hmm. Just, what's something that stuck out to you? What's Jesus teaching you? What's a verse that you want to think about? Yeah. So, yeah, she really helped me cultivate that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. So, where would you like to grow? What areas in these disciplines would you like to grow in?
I feel like sometimes I read through scripture too fast, so I want to start focusing and slowing down and just take smaller passages and really focus and meditate on them and really understand them and go deeper with them. I used to journal years ago and then I stopped, so I'd love to start doing that again. Mm-hmm. And memorizing more scripture, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. What about you, Amy?
Yeah, something I'd like to work on is having more focused prayer time. I pray all throughout the day if I'm, you know, driving or doing dishes or one of the boys says something, you know, we'll stop and we'll pray. But I miss that, like, quiet, focused time of prayer, just that intentional praying. Like, I pray in the evening, but I don't pray very long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Scripture, you mentioned fasting's always mentioned with prayer. At least a lot of the time it's mentioned with prayer. And I don't know much about fasting. I have a couple family members and close friends who fast. And I've always wondered about it and just wanted to be more intentional with, you know, denying myself a meal or two or whatever it may look like. And just going before the Lord in a longer time of prayer and then taking the step to, you know, to fast, mm-hmm. to not eat for a time.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Do you guys ever struggle?
Oh, never, never, Mary. Oh, my gosh. I have plenty of those bad days.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yes. Yeah. And even on the weekends where my routine gets thrown off, I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, you know, but all the time. Mm-hmm. We need to hear this all the time.
We do. And
the time.
And we need to go back to, you know, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about our heart's devotion towards the Lord. So don't feel defeated in if you struggle or if you try it and you fail. And, you know, we want to keep going. We got to keep walking, right? We got to keep going and moving forward in it. And so, you know, and we want to come alongside of you to do that. And I want to just give you a little glimpse of what our year is going to look like. And kind of what we're going to be teaching on. Next month, I will be teaching on Bible intake. We're going to spend 2 months on Bible intake. So Bible intake part one is going to be learning how to sit down and read your Bible. Let's read the Bible. What is the Bible telling me about God? Okay? Then we're going to have Bible intake part two. And Babette Hatterberg is going to be teaching on that in November. That will be November. So we ask ourselves, what is this telling us about God? And then in November, well, how does that apply to me in my life? How do I start taking what I'm learning and applying it to my life? And then in December, Kathy Tiffy, she's back there somewhere, my sister, she's going to be taking those 2 months of Bible intake, and she's going to be looking at the Christmas story and walking us through how to do that. And so that's going to be really neat. Mm-hmm. And then in January, Jane Kumis back there, she's going to be teaching us about prayer and fasting. Yay. And then in February, I didn't write these down, so I'm remembering.
You're good.
February, we're going to have Pastor Ed come, and he's going to teach us on meditation and scripture memory. Because Ed, he memorizes scripture, and he has, I know he'll bring us a lot of great truths through that. And then in March, Pastor Paul is going to come. And as you know, Paul is a writer. And he is going to come and he's going to talk to us about journaling. And so I'm excited about that and where that's going to go. And then in April, Lori Booch, she's back there, the three of them are sitting next to each other. And Lori is going to be teaching us about worship. Mm-hmm. And this is worship. Jane did a teaching a couple years ago on worship, but this is going to be a different focus. This is going to be worshiping the Lord through music. And how do we learn how to do that? How do we discern good, solid, biblical worship music? And how do we, you know, practice the disciplines through worship in music? So, and then in May, we're going to have our women's retreat. And so that is coming back. We had to cancel it because of COVID. But we were able to, they were great at the hotel. They gave me everything that we had before. And so we will be bringing more information about that soon. But the date, if you want to mark your calendars, is May 21st.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Saturday.
So that's coming in May. So, you know, we're very excited about our year. I hope that you guys are excited about it. And, you know, I also want to encourage you in your handouts here, as we were talking about what it looks like practically in our lives. You have this handout that is called 10 Questions to Diagnose Your Spiritual Health. And Donald Whitney, who wrote this book, also wrote a book, I brought it with me, called 10 Questions to Diagnose Your Spiritual Health. So if you want to get the books, I mean, he has, we don't have this one available, but this is one that he had written too. But these are the 10 questions that he works through in his book. And there also, it says, with suggestions for growth in each area. So I would encourage you to take some time, just kind of, you know, read through them, search your own heart on where you can grow and where the Lord wants to take you in your walk with him. And, you know, how do we encourage each other? The last question, question number 5. You know, last year, if you were here, we really emphasized the importance of mentoring and discipleship relationships. And we encourage friendships with women that maybe are in different seasons of life than you, maybe someone who's maybe just a few steps ahead of you in their walk with the Lord. And we don't want to stop that. You know, we heard some sweet testimonies from some women who formed some sweet relationships. And so this year, we don't want you to feel like you're going through this alone. Like, okay, I want to make these changes in my life, but you know, you're gonna go home and you're gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna read. I'm gonna be consistently reading my Bible. But then maybe a week goes by and you're like, oh, I screwed up. I didn't get up. I, you know, like you're gonna feel defeated. But yet, we want to encourage you. We want to help you, and we don't want you to feel alone in this endeavor. You know, we need each other. We need each other. Vilma, Ecclesiastes, what does
it
say?
Yes, Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Mm. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up.
Mm-hmm. So we need each other. Mm-hmm. We need each other. One last quote from Jerry Bridges' book. It says, we need at least one other person of like heart to pray with, encourage us, and if necessary, admonish us. This person or persons must be someone who is also involved in the struggle to mortify sin in his or her life, so that he or she can enter into our struggles and not be scandalized by the nature of our deepest sins. It is said that the Puritans, listen to this, the Puritans used to ask God for one bosom friend with whom they could share absolutely everything. And I looked that up a little bit. It's true. I Googled it. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't lying, but I was like, really? I think it was their language back then. They used the word bosoms. But I don't know about you, but when I read that, I thought of Anne of Green Gables. And if you have not seen Anne of Green Gables, you need to watch it after you have your time with the Lord.
That's right.
But it's, I mean, that's what she longed for, a bosom friend. So we, you know, we hope that you are encouraged tonight. And Amy, can you grab that out? So this year we want to help equip you with some practical tools. And I know that you guys, this is my beautiful devotional notebook, and I'm sure some of you wish you were getting one, right? Well, you're all going to get one, but you get to choose the design that you like. Now, I just love this one. This is just the one that drew my eye, too. So I want to explain a few things before we actually give them out. We have decided, because I kept calling that a binder, and we came up with devotional notebook. And that's the purpose of it, is for you to use this in a practical way in your devotional time. And you can set it up how you want it. But I'll tell you what we have in it already for you. So our Angela made this beautiful cover page. I wanted a cover page with our theme for the year. And our theme verse for the year is the righteous flourish like a palm tree. They're planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish in the courts of the Lord. I mean, amen, right? That's where we want to be. And I just love what you put together. I wanted it to be a cover page. When you open your binder, that's what you see. And in each, I called it a binder.
I was going to say.
It's a devotional notebook. So you also have dividers. We have 5 different dividers for you, so you can have different sections. You might want one for, you know, Bible reading, or you might want one to have a page where you list all your prayer requests. And like Vilma said, mark it off when the Lord answers your prayer. Date it, you know, so you have it there. You're going to be going home with handouts. All your handouts tonight, if you notice, they're 3-hole punched. Every time you come, they're going to be 3-hole punched in them. And we encourage you, bring your binders when you come next time, because you can put your papers in there.
Your what?
Oh!
Bring your...
See? Devotional notebook. Okay. And also in the back, you'll see... Oh, that's where my card went.
There it is!
You're going to have a couple of these plastic protectors. And so every month when you come, you're going to get a new card. And the idea is for you to take it home, to put it up, to meditate on it, and memorize it if you can. Don't underestimate yourself in scripture memory. Don't underestimate yourself. But when you get your card, like tonight, don't put it in your binder. It doesn't go in here until next month.
That's right.
That's right. When you get your new one, you can put this month's one in here, but not until then. So that's what these are for, and these will hold one on each side, so there's enough for you to have 16 in your binder. And
just make it a binder.
Right, I mean, right.
No, it's a devotional notebook. So
no.
It fits 3x5 cards, so you can make your own scripture cards and put them in there, too. And you can, you know, buy it. You can do whatever you want, but you know, our prayer for you is that you will use it, and we want to help you and equip you to get moving in the walking with the Lord in the right way, in the right direction. So let me make sure I have everything that I wanted to say. So before we let you choose your your binder. No. What is wrong with me? And I want to give a book away before we let you go and choose your notebooks. Do we have the names? Patty's
getting She's going now.
Okay. And can you grab those, Mandy?
Yeah.
So whoever wins, you can choose. We have both books. We have, now this is,